In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Reverend Father, dear sisters, dear faithful, on this fourth and last Sunday of Advent, as we draw closer to the feast of our Lord's Nativity, I would like to give you in my sermon an update on the progress of the building of our new school. So I'm sure if you've noticed, if any time you pass through here on the road here on Beaver Road, or coming to Mass here, or coming to school, or whatever reason you come for here on our property, I'm sure you've noticed the amount of work that the construction men have done over the last few months. And it has slowed down recently, of course, because of the winter weather. But if the weather can remain relatively mild here in the next month or so here in Northern Kentucky, we will have a reasonable chance, I could say a good chance, to finish the shell of the first phase of the building project by the end of February. So if that is the case, then we will be about almost 5 months ahead of schedule in the building project. And even the architect is confident that if we can remain at this pace that we are right now, he says that we can finish the whole first phase of the project, this whole building project, by late winter of the next school year, which would give us the opportunity of moving into the school before that school year would end. So think about that. We're in the 25-26 year right now, 26-27 next year. We have that opportunity towards the end of the 26-27 school year to get into that school. And I think that would border, I wouldn't say the impossible, but I would definitely say it's boarding on the totally unexpected. That was not expected at all. And so that leads us then to the second part of the first phase of the project. So if you walk into the school this morning, today's tour, hopefully you can do it. It will give you an idea why the second part of the phase will cost in excess of $10 million. It's a lot of money. And believe it or not, we have been frugal on this project. So the architect and the general contractor thought more money needed to be spent in the work we have done so far, and we have not spent that money. And so, we can almost say a shout out to those men who have helped us to save money so far in this building project that we have done. So we are about to come to that second part of the first phase. It's about to come upon us. So again, I have to appeal to your generosity in helping us spiritually or materially. So materially, by your donations, of course, like I said, excess of $10 million, even working. There have been some very generous people in our parish here who have come and done things around the school for us, been very generous in that sense. Or you can get donors, and I've said this before, getting donors that you may know personally or through business contacts. You know, sometimes in these type of projects, these type of church projects, that will often happen. We will get money from unexpected sources, money that we did not expect. And so if we have any context there, never hurts to try. Never hurts to try to get any money in that regard. So spiritually speaking, you can continue to help us by your prayers and sacrifices, and I will comment on that later here at the end of the sermon. And so I can say here, as we get closer to the end of that first part of the first phase, that I have been blown away, me personally speaking, by some of the donations that have come in. even from the outside of our parish, people who have nothing to do with our parish. We're not an international school here. We don't take boarders in general. So we're just here. We're just a Walton parish or another Northern Kentucky parish, and not a parish for people from all over the country. And it is shown to me then what I have heard many times from our foreign superiors, our European superiors, that they have often said that Americans are very generous. That's one of the compliments that they give for Americans, that we are very generous. And so I have experienced it firsthand. And I know I've said this in a few of my sermons before. It humbles me because I don't like to beg. I don't like to beg. And I'll give you a reason later on for that one too, why I don't like to beg. I can perhaps say it's a little pride on my part or whatever, but sometimes as a priest, we have to do so. And so it humbles me when I have to do things like that. So it's your generosity then, your generosity that has been such a good example of your kindness, we can say, that inspires others to maybe good actions, but it's also your faith. It's also your faith that will help them to build these kind of buildings. You know, think about the cathedrals of Europe. I'm sure many of you have had that opportunity to see some of those cathedrals. You would be surprised. You would be surprised how and in what manner many of these incredible edifices have been built. But I can assure you one thing, faith played an essential role in those buildings rising up from the ground. It played an essential role. Yeah, they needed the money. We always need money, unfortunately. But know that faith played an essential role. And so each donation that you make, no matter what the amount may be, whatever the amount may be, it's truly appreciated by the priest here at our priory, by our superiors, been truly appreciated. But these donations also have been a help towards finishing this phase. And so please do not underestimate what you give. Maybe not thinking it's worth much, but that's not what counts. We always have to look at, again, from the aspect of faith. Because our Lord, He looks from the heart. Our Lord looks from the heart when He judges our actions. And the bigger the heart, the more meritorious will be the action. You can meditate on the widow's mite on that one. The bigger the heart. So if we think about our parish in general, we are now a parish of about 1,500 people. I had a chance yesterday to check the statistics of our attendance figures since September. I generally don't like doing that. I'm really not a big on checking on stats. I think I'll take care of those type of things. But I did check it so I can at least inform you what's going on, so it can kind of give us an idea where we're doing these type of things. But if you look at the stats of the last 3 months or so of the four masses each Sunday, we're averaging just about 1,500 people. Just about 1,500 people. Just a little below that. And so that we can say it's bringing us to, you know, in a way, another crossroad. It's bringing us to another crossroad. So before we talk about that crossroad, let's think of our baptism marriages, for example, that have happened over the last 15 years or so. So in 2010, 2015, and 2025 will give us an idea what this parish has become. So in 2010, there were 15 baptisms in this parish here. In 2015, there were 29. And in 2025, which is about to come to an end now, we are at 80. 80 baptisms. We had our 80th baptism yesterday. And even the marriages. You know, obviously there aren't going to be as many marriages as baptisms. If you go to, again, 10, 15, and 25. In 2010, we had 7 marriages. 15 was an off year. We had 2. But in 2025, we've had about 13 of them. So we can see even a great growth in the marriages that we have performed. And so according to these stats, the parish will continue to grow, just internally speaking, not even consider any outside growth from the people coming in from wherever. We've had obviously people moving here, and even while I've been here, this is my fifth year here. You know, each year I've seen a bunch of new faces. Who's that person? Where'd you come from? Often those things I've said to people I've come up to, never seen you before. But that's not counting the internal growth. Again, 80 baptisms this year. Think about what it will be like in 5 years from now, just from the baptisms that we perform here. And so the crossroad is not just then for the new school going up, as that's been an obvious necessity for, we can say, a few years now. But even for the church itself. Again, try to imagine that growth again, 80 baptisms a year, if that's what we're going to average. And so that should give us a reason for the size of our new school. It may seem big to you if you do that tour today when you go down there. That's something you'll be impressed with, is the size of the school. But we have the belief that Providence has shown us this course. Like I said, we're going to have to make decisions about the church in 5 years, let alone the school, what we're doing right now. So remember when I visited Spain, and I think it was exactly 20 years ago now, with two of my priest friends, I was outside one of those big cathedrals. And I remember there was a gentleman that screamed out something to the three of us. Of course, he screamed it out in Spanish. I didn't understand it, but I had a Latino with me, so he understood it. And let's just say in his Latino blood, he went up to that person immediately because it didn't sound good. The tone of his scream didn't sound very good to the three of us. While the Latino knew what he was saying, I couldn't really hear what they were talking about. But let's just say the conversation didn't last very long. So when the priest came back to us, I said, "What did that guy say? What was he trying to say?" And he told me, and the other priest, he said, "You priest, all you ever ask for is money. That's all you ever ask for." So the priest, again, as I said, went right straight to him and said, "Am I asking you for money?" He repeated it a couple times. Let's just say maybe the guy that learned the lesson to pick a fight with the priest. I mean, I'm sure maybe he remembers that conversation. Me being a little fiery, maybe perhaps I would have reacted in that way too. But the more I thought about it, the more I considered it, what this guy was saying. He was a simple guy probably. I took pity on him. I pitied him. Because it showed to me a lack of faith. That's all he could think about. All you priests ever ask for is money. It was kind of an insult to us, but for me, it was a lack of faith. So I felt sorry for the guy. I felt sorry for him having to think that of us. You know, so with regards to our school, let's just truly know that there is something bigger than you and me. There's something bigger here. As I was saying at the first Mass then, you know, the Father Stanitches, the Father Posts, and the Father Horvats, in 30 years, we're probably going to be gone. Not from Walton, but from this world. We're going to be gone from planet Earth. And the Father Jacobs is here, and the Burbos, they're going to be at retirement age. Father Jacobs here will probably be given the same jokes as Father Post. What's the definition of a preposition? I'm sure you've heard, many of you have heard that one. It might come to haunt Father Jacobs in the future. And the Sheehans, the Hikos, and the Hatties, they'll be middle-aged priests like me. I don't know if they'll be as good-looking as me, but they'll be at that age. And so many of you in the pew, you'll be gone too. You'll be gone also from planet Earth. But what you and I are doing today, is passing on to others what has been passed on to us. You know, you and I will give future generations the opportunity to have something that many people wish they could have. And I think about me growing up, I didn't have any of this. When I went to the seminary, my first year, the ascetical mystical theology year, also consisted in taking Baltimore Catechism 3. Many people wish for these type of things that we have here in Walton. But what we will do in helping to continue to build here, especially with this new school, will help to fulfill the words of our Lord. And what does our Lord say in his Gospels towards the end, of Matthew's Gospel? My words will pass away. My words will not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, he says, but my words will not pass away. And that's what we will fulfill by building something like this. Our Lord's words will continue. And I hope all of you can see that. I hope all of you can see that. So in conclusion here, trying to keep the sermon within 20 minutes or so, so try to pack it as much as I could here. First, again, I'd like to thank you for your continued generosity. Again, there have been many generous souls involved. Again, from unexpected places. Again, people just showing up to go and clean in that building. That's a big job. That's a big job, going in that building today. If you see it's a little clean, it's because some people actually did some work. And it wasn't me either. So again, thank you for your continued generosity. Secondly, then, we ask you for your continual prayers and sacrifices. They are so important. You know, what is the psalmist says, and I know I've quoted this in the bulletin already, unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain who build it. We got to have the purity intention in doing this. You know, we think of all those great school buildings and even churches that have been built here in the 1930s, 1940s, and 1950s here in America. And look what happened to a lot of them. Some of them pretty impressive. I remember when I was in St. Louis back in 1994 to 2004, some pretty impressive buildings all being closed down. We got to have the purity of the intention. We're doing it for the glory of God, not for our glory. And if we're looking for our glory, then we're not doing it the right way. And so we ask you then to continue to pray for us to have the strength and the light to know how to continue this project. It is a difficult thing. I'm a very skeptical person. Trust me, if you think I wanted to do this project, I didn't. You really think I want to put a burden like that on my shoulders? But again, Providence showed the way. Providence showed the way, and I happen to be the person here at this time. So it was put onto my shoulders. And perhaps the sooner I'm out of here, the less the burden I will have. But for now, that's the way God wants it. And so I do his work. And so that's what he wants of me. So we ask then for your continued prayers and support that we might continue this project and complete it, that we again might benefit many generations and lead many souls to eternal life in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.